touch. Da 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 views. Da da touch. Da 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 views. Hello, welcome to another episode of The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people, about fat people, hosted by a fat person. That's me. I'm Ash, your host. And before we get into the episode today, I wanted to say a quick few words about a very important member of the fat community who passed away, unfortunately, last week. You may not know her or know of her, but I'm talking about Kat of Katay.com. So Kat has been a fixture in fat positivity since before I ever discovered the community when I was 18. Kat hosted and was the subject of a website full of photos of her living her life as a fat woman. And in the early days, there were a few websites like this, hosted by women who took photos of themselves. And I was profoundly influenced by many of these sites. It was the first time I had ever seen fat women in photos that celebrated them like that. There was no mocking, and there was no shame, and it was just something that I had never seen before. Kat kept her free site, but she was going through an illness recently, and we found out last week that she passed away. And it's a really profound loss. Even if you didn't know Kat or know of her site or know of her photos, the work she did paved the way for the work you're seeing all over the internet today. So if you have a few minutes today, please go to katay.com. That's C-A-T-A-Y.com. Enjoy her unique style. Laugh at her alien costume. She would love that. And then be inspired to let your guard down in a photo of you. I think Kat would be thrilled with that. Okay, so on with today's episode. Today I am talking to Nush. Nush was born in Sri Lanka, lived there throughout her childhood, and then emigrated to Australia. And in our talk today, Nush talked about her experience with an eating disorder and how her culture and her parents' trauma affected that experience and what recovery has been like for her and how social media has helped her in that recovery. So I hope you enjoy the discussion. I'm going to drop right in to my chat with Nush.
We came as migrants at that time because there was, I guess politically, it was a lot easier. And then I've been here a couple of years. In the middle of that, we've traveled through. So we've lived in like a place called Brunei, which is near Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And then came back here in high school and been here ever since.
So how do you find living in Australia?
There's still aspects of certain things. I guess I have to kind of acknowledge my privilege. I'm quite middle class. I've lived out of home and kind of fended for myself for a bit, but still always kind of had a job while I've been able to do that. So when I was younger, there was definitely a lot more racism than towards me than there is now. I don't think I've kind of had any episodes of real racism directed at me. There's probably been instances of unconscious racism, but nothing, you know, nothing directly. I know when my brothers were growing up, because they're quite big boys as well, especially after 9/11, there was always concerns, and you know, there's always concerns by my parents that there would be something inflicted, and there was probably a bit more tenseness at that time, but nothing compared to, you know, what my Muslim friends were going through. Right. I think at the moment, because of the political climate, there's not so much, it doesn't feel to me as much against, say, brown people here as much as, for example, people who are Muslim or who are indigenous.
Right.
Yeah, there's still a lot of racism against the indigenous population here and a lot of bias.
So, okay, so you have an Instagram where you post your outfits and stuff, and your style is so cute.
Oh, thanks.
I love it. I just think you're so adorable.
Oh.
So tell me how you got into Body Pause blogging or Body Pause Instagramming.
I wanted to start blogging. That was the initial kind of stage. But for some reason, I just don't seem to be able to write much anymore. So I kind of started and kind of stopped.
It is so hard. Like, the writing part, I think a lot of people that decide to, like, have a fashion blog are like, oh my god, like, I'm stylish, I can wear cute clothes and, like, take photos. But, like, it is a lot of work, and the writing is so hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you don't want to, I don't know, I promised myself when I started that I wouldn't make it things out to be better than they were, you know, but at right. the same time, there's like only a certain number of like somber serious posts that you can do.
Right, you're like, right.
Oh, come on.
Right, you're like, oh, this feels like a sad 12-year-old's diary.
Certainly so much everything's not great. So yeah, that was a bit hard. And then it's hard to take photos. Like, I'm still at the point where I feel kind of comfortable in public getting friends to take photos, because I spent the majority of my life not having any photos of me, you know, after a certain point. So starting to take photos was kind of a huge thing in itself, and I still haven't kind of crunched that bubble where I can kind of go outside taking my own photos yet.
Yeah. I feel like with Instagram becoming more popular, like, that's becoming more acceptable for people to just be like taking photos of themselves in the street.
That's true.
But it does still feel awkward, like, when I ask my boyfriend to take a photo of me, because I'm like, everyone knows what we're doing right now.
Right?
Like, everybody knows that this is for social media, and it feels like a weird performance.
Considering how everyday social media is, it's strange that that still feels so weird, you know?
Like, Yeah, definitely. Because it's like, everyone is doing it. Like, everyone, like, all of the people on Instagram are doing this, but it still feels strange when you're, like, at the grocery store and, like, you need someone to take a photo.
Or you're in a cafe and you're like, can I, should I, no, let's just sit here and be quiet.
Right.
Yeah. Body positivity. I got into the photo, like, I have another Instagram account, which is quite a personal account, which I barely even touch anymore. But I started following a lot of people, especially, I probably started with, I think at that time, Tess Halliday, and then, and kind of went from there. But I started because I've had, so eating disorder wise, like, I started when I was about 13, I think 12, 13, and it kind of kept going until I was 25. So, and probably didn't like really start recovering until I was 28. So it was a huge chunk of my life where I just had absolutely no confidence in myself. And kind of through that, every time I'd go into a cycle, I'd, you know, come out of it and I'd binge eat my way out of it, and I'd kind of put all the weight back on and add 10 kilos onto it as well. So, and every time, like, I'd get to this cycle where I was like, at least try and be healthy, you know, you've been doing well, you're not in an eating disorder again, you know, get to the gym and just be healthy. And then the healthy thing would always kind of turn into this really toxic, you know, obsessive exercise regime, and then that would be, so it would end up being back in that cycle. And I've done that a couple of times in the more recent cycles. So even just, you know, doing things like gym, there's like this complete fear in me now, because I feel like I've got my life to a point where I'm able to concentrate on things other than just weight and food. And so, you know, but I'm also like, you know, in terms of health, I do recognize that I'm not the healthiest person. And so one of my family members actually went through the gastric bypass surgery, I was starting to consider it. And I kind of just had this realization after a while that even if I did it, it wouldn't make me any happier with myself. You know, mental health wise, I was still going to look at myself regardless of what weight or what size or how healthy I was, and still completely trod myself down, because I just didn't like myself very much. And that reflected, I think, as well in me liking other people. You know, I think when you don't like yourself, you're so toxic about other people as well in the world. And I kind of disliked how toxic I was about other people too. And so I kind of decided, at that point, I decided to do the Insta post, because I just had to force myself to actually, it was kind of forcing myself to look at myself more than anything else. You know, I avoided photos for many, many years. Like, I have no photos from the past, say, 5 years. And the photos that I do have, I look at them and I want to cry because I just can't see anything great in them. It was kind of that thing where it's like, it is just photos, but it's taking photos of yourself, which is such a big thing for you because you hate being seen, and then forcing yourself to actually look at them and acknowledge that maybe things aren't as bad as they seem in your head. And that's how that started. And it's kind of amazing how quickly it really worked. It just kind of forced me to talk about things that were in my head that I hadn't wanted to talk about before. And it kind of forced me to just look at myself, like actually look at myself and go, you're okay, you know, and that's, and it's amazing. I think the most amount of change that I've noticed is not so much how it makes me look at myself, but how different it's made me in my interactions with other people and life. You just go for experiences that I would never have even thought to do before. And I'm just a nicer person, I think. Like, I'm not that awful person in the background going, right, why are you wearing that? Or how are you doing that to other people? You know, like, what is that person doing that? It's just like, whatever you're wearing, you look amazing and everyone deserves to do what they want to do. Whereas before, I think because you dislike yourself so much, you kind of put that on other people too, unconsciously.
Right. So you started disordered eating when you were, you said, like 13?
Yeah, it was probably more like 12. It was just after I started menstruating, I guess. Yeah, around 12.
So what was going on in your life then? That, do you think there was something that triggered that, or do you think it was like a buildup of how you felt about yourself? Or
I think it's a buildup of a few things. There were just, you know, familial things that were going on that weren't the most positive at that time. And there was just, I think, so I have parents who've gone through a civil war and they were affected by it. And I think that there's things that it brings out in terms of behavior, and it did for them anyway, because of what they went through, that, that just caused an environment that wasn't, I guess, the most positive at that time. And I was probably a chubby, like, teenager. I wouldn't say a fat, but I was definitely chubby. But I mean, this happened to my brothers as well. But we were just, we were forced to kind of do boot camp sessions and things in the middle of the day whenever it was at the kind of whim of certain people, or certain parents. And so it just kind of developed into this thing. I still remember the first time I purged. So I was asked to sit down and watch this movie, which was about a girl who was anorexic and bulimic and developed an eating disorder. And as you know, I don't think the parent realized the extent to what that movie was, but at the end of that movie it was like, this is how thin I want you to be. I don't want you to get this sick in getting there, but this is how thin I want you to be. And I think I just broke at that moment for some reason. I don't know if it was a broke in terms of rebellion and a big F you to that expectation, or just broke as in like, fine, I'll do this in whatever way. Right. And, but yeah, I went upstairs and purged, and it kind of just went from there. So I purged, and that went on for a couple of days, and they found out. And after that, it was more not eating, just hiding all the food and extreme exercise and things like that. So, and it just kind of cycling, and it kind of creates this vicious cycle of expectation and under, after that.
So that went on for your entire teen years and into adulthood, you said?
Yeah, in cycles. So not constantly, but it would go for about, 2 years, and then the recovery would start really slow. And I never got therapy. That was, being a brown person, there's a real focus on reputation as a family. And I guess my family is quite traditional and cultural as well. And you know, not to blame them, because they had no education around this too. Where we were living at that time, and even back here, they had no education around eating disorders. You know, they saw a hospital. We saw health staff. Like, my weight was so low that at one point, like, we had to go to the hospital, and the doctors didn't mention it. You know, no one picked them up. They said, oh, she's a good weight for her height. Don't be too worried.
Yeah.
And so I got diagnosed with PCOS at 13 and a half, 14. So even with that, they didn't kind of pick it up, you know, in the hospital system. And then we kind of came back to Australia because my parents just kind of wanted to get me out of that environment, I think. And even here, just, you know, because I didn't feel comfortable talking to people, even though I tried to find therapists and stuff to talk to, it just never really worked because my parents weren't necessarily comfortable with me talking to people because they didn't want people to know what was going on. And then I, because of that, I didn't feel comfortable talking to people. And then it just kind of, I just never got help. I never got help to deal with it. And then it just kept going in circles to a point. And even now, you know, I think I definitely need to get more help than I've gotten.
Are you in therapy now, or?
I'm not at the moment. I need to restart therapy, so I've had to stop for a while because my dad got a bit sick. But I guess this process has made me realize more that I need to do it, but I still haven't got to the point where I'm actively doing it, which is strange because, you know, I'm the biggest advocate for people getting help when they need to get help. But reason when it's yourself, it's a whole different story.
Right, right. It's always so much easier to advocate for
other
people.
Absolutely, isn't it, Jess?
It's so much easier.
Do what I say, not what I do.
Well, I'm really glad that you're finding that Instagram is working for you and that posting photos of yourself, just being faced with what your body actually looks like, is healing for you on some levels.
Yeah, and I find even if I'm not, like at the moment, I'm really not, but other people's pages are amazing. You know, there's just so much support within that community that it's been quite beautiful. There's people I talk to from everywhere that just are very supportive. I haven't had any negative experiences on Insta yet, and I'm really thankful for that.
Right.
Interesting when it does happen for the first time, but everyone's been pretty.
Well, I find on Instagram that, like, so I'm a very fat woman, and even when I do post, like, full-length photos, like, occasionally I'll get, like, a nasty Instagram comment, like, that, what do you expect to see? But there's such a community of support that, like, there are always people that step in on my behalf and just be like, get out, you're, like, you suck, like, just leave.
It's like, why are you on here? This is somebody else's
page.
Why are you on here?
Yeah. Right, and, like, it's so strange that people, like, troll the body pause hashtags just to, like, insert that negative garbage. Like, it's so strange that people would do that.
I feel really,
but it happens.
Yeah, I feel really sad because I have to, like, you have to stop and wonder what's going on with their life for them to be
exactly
it's so strange.
Yeah, like, I posted this photo of, like, me, like, holding a leash with my boyfriend's cat on it recently, and I'm, like, standing on the balcony of his building.
That was a cute photo. It was so cute.
thank you. I love this cat, but, so I posted that photo, and of course somebody, like, comes along and is like, oh my god, how is that structure holding you? And it's like, come on, like, oh, I've never heard that one before. But somebody immediately was like, get out of here. Like, why are you here?
That is so imaginative. Not.
Yes. I'm going to break the balcony off the building. I'm just that fat. Thank you.
And you just wonder how they come up with these things, and then actually their brain kind of tells them it's okay for them to type it out and then click.
Right. And, like, what do they think that they are achieving? Yeah. Like,
you didn't trip, like, and fall into, like, that comment. You made that comment.
Right. And, like, what does that do for them? Like, how does that make them feel about themselves that they could, like, put this out? And, like, obviously, like, I talk about being fat all the time. I have a podcast about being fat. Like, you telling me that I'm fat isn't going to hurt my feelings.
No.
So, like, what exactly did you hope to gain from that?
I mean, you have your name on Insta is acknowledging that you, that that's what you're talking
about. Right.
That's what you
right, exactly.
And you're not as, you know, it's like, oh, you didn't realize? I'm sorry you didn't look in the mirror today, so let me just tell you that I think you're fat. Yeah, cheers. Thanks.
Right. Oh, thank you. No one's ever told me that before.
I know. I'm surprised. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the internet is, never know who's out there.
It's a stranger.
But I'm so glad that you haven't seen any of that yet, at least.
I mean, I've deleted, I'm pretty vicious about it. If I see anything come on, I delete stuff. Like if it's over-sexualized or kind of annoying comments to a point, like I'll leave most things, but there are certain lines that I won't cross. And I guess I come into it from a point of view of, you know, when I was looking at this and thinking about, you know, considering whether I was worthy of starting a page or not, whether I had anything interesting to say, I would come across these comments and they would make me hesitate because I didn't necessarily want to deal with them. And I just think if there's anyone looking at my page who's in that same kind of headspace, I don't want these comments to be what puts them off because they're
for sure.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the hard part. Like knowing that, like maybe someone else who looks like me is going to see that comment and be like, oh, well, I can't post a photo because I'm going to get that too.
Exactly.
And like, it doesn't hurt me, but it could hurt somebody else. So,
and I know it makes me hesitate. Like there's certain photos that I'd like to do and certain things that I'd like to be more open with or, you know, speak more bluntly about that I hesitate because I'm not ready to necessarily deal with the backlash and power to all those people who do it so well. But I don't know if I'm there yet. And so I don't,
I mean, that's totally fair. Like everybody's in a different place and like you have experienced more struggle than a lot of people with, body image issues. So like you are allowed to take your own time and go at your own pace, delete what you need to delete. And you know,
yeah, it's my page. Like you said, it's
your
page.
Exactly. Right.
No one needs to,
but I was looking through your Instagram this morning and like your style is so cute. I love it. It's so cute.
Thank you. I never thought I ever had a style, which is quite amazing. And now my wardrobe kind of can't fit all my clothes. Which is
Yeah.
That was the one thing I noticed once I started this as well, that my shopping habit definitely took a bit of a, like an outward dive.
yeah, for sure. When you're finally like, oh, like I actually look great in this stuff.
And there's clothes in our sizes. Like, oh my God.
I know. Like, yeah, I mean, a lot more than there was even 5 years ago.
Yeah. It's still, there's things that there aren't, like, especially like lingerie and stuff where there's just nothing that won't break the bank, but apparently we all fit clothes, but apparently we don't need to wear underwear. So, you know.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. So how is the plus size fashion market in Australia?
Terrible. Pretty terrible.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, I think other people experience this as well, but for example, H&M, their plus size section is a little tiny corner just under the stairs.
Yeah.
And most, there's a few others, I guess, more cost-friendly places that are now bringing in plus size ranges, but it's limited and it's still on, I guess, the frumpy side of things to a point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, most of my shopping's probably either, you know, I used to love op shopping, and that used to be the majority of my wardrobe, but unfortunately it's a lot harder with plus sizes. There's just not much there, which is completely understandable. I think when you find something good, you kind of hold on to it. But most of it's online. So ASOS or Boohoo, there's a couple of other places that I'd like to shop, but delivery charges to Australia are kind of intense.
For sure.
Yeah. I think like with Torrid, it's almost the same value of the amount of money you buy to actually pay for shipping to Australia. So
kind of that's insane.
It's so insane. So,
and like, so I am from the States, but my boyfriend lives in Canada. So I've been visiting him for the last 6 months in Canada. And like, we share a very large land border with Canada, but there's so little plus size clothing in Canada. And it's so strange. I was like, I could never Like, if we get married, I can never live here because I cannot shop here. Like, there's nothing.
And it's like crazy.
It's ridiculous. And like, when I do order something like from Torrid, it's like $40 in shipping.
Yes.
And I am literally an hour and a half's drive from the United States right now. Like, it is insanity. I'm like, I could actually order it and have it shipped to a P.O. box in New York and go and drive there and get it for cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
So insane.
It's crazy. And you just think, like, $40. So I think I was trying to buy, you know, maybe 3 skirts and 2 tops, and it was about $60. And I'm like, that's the cost of those 3 skirts.
Cause, yeah, you
know,
yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Like, that's insane.
So insane. So insane. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, Torrid has stores in Canada. But, like, but, of course, like a lot of places, most places, I wear a size that is outside of what they actually offer in the store.
Yeah.
So Torrid only offers up to a size 4 in stores, and like sometimes you'll find a 5, but like I'm at least a 5 and usually a 6. So there, like, I never find anything in a Torrid store. So I have to order online. So you would think that, like, if they can ship their inventory to their Torrid stores in Canada, that they could also ship it to me for cheap, but no.
That's crazy.
They're like, no, it's got to come from the warehouse, and so you got to pay $40 for this pair of leggings to be shipped.
Oh, gosh.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I've ordered 2 shirts that were kind of politically motivated, and it's taken, I think it's in its 4th month currently of me waiting to get it. So it came to Australia, then they sent it back to the United States, and it's been in the United States just rolling around for about the past month and a half, and I'm still waiting for it to get in a flight.
That is so frustrating.
It's like, okay,
that is crazy.
I'll see what happens. I might get it in the...
You're like, maybe I'll get them someday, who knows.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise when it happens. It's like Christmas.
Yeah. Right. You're like, oh, did I order something? Yeah. Oh yeah.
This.
Oh. 6 months ago.
Thanks, UPS. You're so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, we're pretty bad here. It's just, and lingerie, like, it amazes me, you know? It's like, apparently we don't wear undies, or we don't wear jeans, or we don't wear boy legs, or we don't like lace. Like, it's all high rise and cotton and black.
Yeah, white.
Yeah.
White and, or black.
Yeah.
All cotton.
And Bridget Jones. Like, that's all we get. And I just, you know, we don't... Yeah, they're fine. Like, I love those ones, too. They're super comfortable. Wouldn't mind something else once in a while. Just saying.
Right. Just a little variety.
Just a little
that would
bit.
Be nice.
Yeah, even in color. Man. Like,
right. Like, it can still be cotton and it can still be Bridget Jones,
exactly.
As long as it's a color.
It's kind of like, you know, a bigger person goes into a gym and you're like, oh, what are you doing in the gym? And it's kind of like that situation where you're like, you go to buy underwear. And it's like, well, what are you doing buying underwear? Okay.
Right. How dare you?
Dare
like,
you
think you can just wear underwear like a real person?
Yeah.
What?
Just can't win.
Well, I think it's at least getting a little bit better. I mean, at least there is Boohoo now and like ASOS. ASOS is fantastic, though a little bit expensive.
It is.
And
they're both
but
pretty high in sizes,
they're...
which is kind of awesome as well.
Yeah, and, like, their sizing is pretty generous.
Ooh.
Like, I think a US 22 is the highest that they offer. But, like, I could, like, not now, but, like, even, like, 50 pounds ago, I could get into a lot of their 22 stuff. So it was pretty nice.
Yeah. How do you find shopping at the moment, like, over that side of town, even...
It is difficult.
Yeah.
So Torrid is so helpful because before Torrid there was like nothing. So there's this store, I don't know if you know about it, but there's this store called Catherine's that is like a notoriously dowdy, like matronly store that sells above a size 30. So they're like the only retail store that sells above a size 30. And I actually used to work at one when I was in college. And so that was, like, basically the only option you had. And everything there was either, like, a t-shirt with a giraffe on it with wood beads and embroidery.
Oh, yeah.
Or like
exactly what you
or yeah. like yeah, or like purple leather blazer that's like a very strange color that you probably like at the time I was 21 and I was like, I cannot wear that. That is strange. I mean, now I would probably be like all over a purple leather blazer, but back then I was like, no.
No.
So, but yeah, so there's only like that one retail store. We do have like, so Old Navy carries plus sizes only online again, because like plus sizes in store, like a lot of places aren't interested in doing that, or, like having actual fat people come to their establishments. So Old Navy is good for like basics, and they do, their sizes go up to a 30, but their most of their stuff is like stretchy knitwear. So like, obviously I can wear a lot of that stuff. Again, Torrid has been like a lifesaver, but as far as beyond that, like there really isn't anything that goes to my size. So I shop a lot from this company, Ishakti, that is based in India. So they do custom sizing, so they go up to a 36, which is also already like amazing because nobody offers sizes that high. But they also offer custom sizing, which I when I order stuff I always get custom because it's like $10 extra to have it made to your measurements.
Awesome.
Which is so nice. And like some of their stuff is very ugly, but like they do have some nice things and, some stylish things. So like if I want to spend like good money, and their quality is amazing. Like, I don't know if you've ever had anything from them, but their quality is fantastic.
Oh, it's good to know because I've like, looked at them, but I've never.
Like honestly, like the best made plus size clothing I've ever owned in my life. Like the quality is so good. And so I do rely on them a lot because like my options are very slim. And like plus like it's nice to be able to, because they have so much inventory at Ishakti. Like they have so many options. I don't know if you've ever been on their website, but they have so many options and like everything is customizable. And I am one of those people where like in plus fashion, everybody ends up wearing the same things all the time. Like, and I hate that. Like, I do not want to be dressed like someone else. Like, if I find something that I love, I don't want anyone else I know to have it because, like, I just want to, like, have my own little style and my own little thing. And that's impossible in plus sizes because, like, there are so few options. But with Ishakti, because everything is customizable, like, I feel like I can get something that's different than what everybody else has.
Yeah.
So I love them.
And I think it's not as popular as other, you know, like, easy-to-access online stores as well, which
you
do get is really original. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that
place. I troll through their website because by the time I get to the end of their selection, I've already forgotten what I liked from, like, 10 minutes ago. There's so many.
Right. I'm always like, oh, okay, like, I'm always like, open in a new tab and, like, I have 30 tabs worth of stuff open that I just need to look through. I'm a tab person. I always have a million tabs open at all times.
I'm the same. And then your computer freezes and you lose everything and you're like,
right. And you're like, oh my God, how will I find that house that I was looking at, even though I'm not buying a house?
That, like random article I found through this other article.
Right.
Now I remember what it's called.
Yeah, like, how did I even get there? I have no idea.
Yep. I feel you. I feel your pain on that one. I really do.
Yeah, clothes are definitely hard. And, like, it's also frustrating when, like, plus brands... This is the most frustrating thing. Sometimes a plus brand will finally announce that they're expanding sizing, and I'll be like, oh my God, like, they're finally going to offer above a 26. And then... A few times in the recent history, there have been companies that have, like, announced this, like, we're expanding sizing, and then when it comes out, they're like, we're expanding to 10 and 8 and 6.
Yes.
I'm like, what? Like, okay, 6, 8, and 10s do not need to shop at Torrid. Like, they've got plenty of places to shop. Like, they're good.
Yeah.
Like, throw the rest of us a bone.
That was kind of amazing when I heard that, because Torrid is... I mean, was initially there to kind of cater to plus sizes. And it kind of was like, so you're not catering to all plus sizes, but you're going to cater to non-plus sizes. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me.
Right. And then there was Swimsuits for All. So Swimsuits for All is like, it's exclusively a bathing suit company. And that's where Gabby Fresh's Fat Kini came out first, you know. And so they became very, very popular when Gabby Fresh came out. And, like, the plus community has, like, rallied behind them because they were finally offering, like, cute bathing suits for fat people. And so then this year, they started last year a line with Ashley Graham. And this year they announced they're expanding sizing to a size 4 and 6 for Ashley Graham. And I'm like, why? They're, like, a size 4 and 6 are not shopping for their swimwear on the internet on Swimsuits for All. Like, they can find,
in, like, 100 stores.
Like, a bikini anywhere. Yeah, like, this makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, the only reason they would be shopping for it is because it has Ashley Graham's name against it, which is fair enough.
Right,
and if you still find those elsewhere.
Right, and, like, if you're a 4, like, do you care about Ashley Graham that much? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're a size 4, you're not seeking out something that a plus-size model is advertising.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. I have no idea what a size 4 thinks, obviously, but...
I know my friends who, you know, who can shop anywhere they like, essentially, but who love Ashley Graham for what she stands for, and because of that, they will buy into the brand name. They don't need to. They have 101 opportunities and options and amazing options, but they buy. I guess they look into it because of the brand name and the hype around Ashley Graham. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, but still so frustrating.
It's so frustrating. It is so... Because we're coming from a point of necessity, I guess.
Right.
They're coming from a point of, oh, it's just increased choice or want or whatever.
Right. Or, like, they just want to, like... Yeah, exactly. Like, I just want a bathing suit that I can put on my body. Like, I just need an option.
Yeah.
Whereas... And the thing about Swimsuits for All is they do offer up to a size 34, but, like... 26 to 34 are all, like, black swim dresses, like, all skirted, terrible, awful, ugly things.
Because apparently, like, after that, you just want to wear a skirt to the beach.
Right, obviously. Once you're a size 28, you need to cover yourself, like, from head to toe.
Isn't that just a shit little kind of, you know, point to try and make unconsciously?
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's the frustrating thing I kind of find about body positivity is that even within body positivity, there are so many kind of limitations within who's allowed to be body positive sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember a couple of months ago, there was this huge, and it still is there, and there's a little outcry, I guess, about people certain sizes kind of claiming the body positivity tag, and I completely agree with that. But even within the people who the body positivity tag was created for, there seems to be so much discrimination against that as well.
For sure. Yeah, it's like body positivity, like, right now has sort of been co-opted by smaller, predominantly white women who are, like, posting on Instagram. And a lot of times they're still pursuing weight loss or are, like, still, you know, talking about how bad they are for eating a cupcake or whatever. And, like, it's fine to feel that way and to have that experience. But, like, inserting yourself into body positivity and, like, claiming to be body positive while doing things that are the antithesis of what body positivity is supposed to be is just frustrating, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then body positivity becomes once more just a diet industry kind of tag because...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, and then, like, plus retail brands have also co-opted body positivity and, like Lane Bryant, like, they have, well, they've done several now, but they do these campaigns where they're, like, all bodies or plus is equal, and then everyone in their campaign are, like, size 14 white lady that is shaped the same. Like, everybody's hourglass shaped, and it's like, that's not all bodies, and, like, you're not even representing all of plus-size bodies, or, like, all plus-size people.
Yeah, and not even just bodies in general. Like, regardless of size, nobody is the same shape. It's, like, who...
Right.
How many people in this world really, honestly have an hourglass shape, you know?
Right, right.
It's so crazy. It's... And it's a new fad. Like, before it was really kind of... up and down, no curve, and now it's hourglass. And apparently it just doesn't matter if you fall in between then, unless you're a Dove like bottle, in which case that caters to everyone, which was...
right, right.
Because that wasn't strange at all.
I mean, I'm happy that body positivity is, like, becoming a thing and, like, people are really subscribing to it and, like, getting behind it, but I think, like, the message is twisted and... it's more commercial now, and it means less than it was intended to mean.
Yeah.
So, it's rough. But, I mean, I'm very happy that people are at least trying to embrace what it is.
Yeah.
Even though it's not exactly the where it was intended to be.
I'm really glad that there are people fighting, like, speaking out about it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
About people just kind of talking about what body positivity is and, you know, I guess why it was created and stuff. And there's always a backlash to all of those posts. I've never seen one person do a post about that where there hasn't been somebody who turns around and goes, so are you telling me that I can't be body positive because I'm, you know, thin or only a size 14 or 12 and I'm white? And it's like, I don't know. I think when you're closed off to your own worth, sometimes it's hard to see where other people are coming from when they're talking about worth.
Right. Right. But, yeah, because everybody sees body positivity, like, through the lens of their own experiences.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're a size 14 and you're talking about body positivity, like, you see body positivity as being for you. And, but you don't, like, you're probably not acknowledging all of the other people that it's also for, unfortunately.
Exactly. And I think, unfortunately, because you can't see past that or acknowledge that, then that's when everything becomes so tainted a little bit.
Yeah. And then you become defensive when somebody, like, calls into question, you know, whether the way you're presenting yourself is actually body positive.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And there's such a difference. There's a difference between loving yourself. There's a difference between, you know, there's confidence and self-love and all self-acceptance and all of that.
Right.
And then there's the body positivity hashtag. And the body positivity hashtag is so much more political than all of those things. Whereas all of those emotions, body positivity is political hashtag that we've used to kind of create this situation.
Right.
And that... like, that kind of activism is being taken out of it. It's just getting so commercialized now, I guess.
Thank you so much, Nosh, for talking with me and sharing your life. I really enjoyed it. And listeners, please follow Nosh on Instagram. Her Instagram is life_of_Nosh, life of Nosh. So follow her there. And as always, I want to thank Star Crusher for the music on today's show, the music you're listening to right now, which is a different song than I usually use. This one is another song from Star Crusher's album, Goodbye Halcyon Days, and I really love it, so I decided to switch it up today. You can hear this and the whole album at seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com. And thanks as always to our Patreon patrons. Our Patreon patron of the day is Jake, a new patron. Thank you so much, Jake, for supporting the show. If you are interested in becoming a Patreon patron and supporting the show, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. You can pledge as little as a dollar an episode, which is $2 a month, and those Patreon pledges are what keep this show going. And on that note, I will be very happy to announce in the next episode, hopefully, that we have a new sponsorship. So more on that soon, possibly the next episode, hopefully. And I'm very excited about it, and I'm very happy that I get to keep doing this. Also, don't forget to follow The Fat Lip on social media. All of those links are at thefatlip.com, right up at the top. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us on iTunes. All of those really help. Okay, guys, I am moving this week, so I'm gonna be mostly MIA. but I will see you again in 2 weeks for our next episode. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.